Jeremiah chapter 10. Well, this is a criticism of the folly of idolatry, but it begins in verse 2, "Don't learn the way of the nations." And a couple of times it's pointed out that you are learning the way of idolatry. Now, the context is that Jerusalem is about to be taken by the Babylonians, and foolishly enough, the Jews are giving themselves even more to idolatry. They think, well, if we learn about the idols and the gods and deities of the Babylonians and worship them, then we'll be saved. Now, it's strange how condemnation actually gives people what they already really want. Because when they were taken captive into Babylon, Daniel and those young men who were with him and others were forced to learn all the nonsense of Babylonian idolatry. But that's what Judah generally had wanted to do anyway. So it's not so much that God condemns people, but that man condemns himself, and we are given that which we really essentially want. All the way through God's commentary on idolatry, there is the point made that this is so foolish that a man cuts down a tree, decorates it nicely, and falls down and worships it, or makes a lifeless item and falls down and worships it when it's got no life and no power in it and he made it himself. We've got this in Isaiah as well. A guy cuts down a tree trunk, chops it in half. Half of it he uses as firewood, and the other half he makes an idol and uses the half of the tree he's using for firewood to burn a sacrifice to the idol he's just made. The folly of idolatry is quite a theme, and of course, as we know, we don't have physical idols in our lives at this point in society, but we do have many other forms of idolatry, because idolatry is essentially anything that replaces the one true God. Verse 14, "Every man has become primitive and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is disappointed by his engraved image, for the molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them." There is no life in idolatry, ultimately, because God is the creator, and God is the source of life, and you cannot create something which, as it were, has got life within it. You cannot create life, because God is the source of life, and God is the ultimate creator. And yet, as Paul points out, man has this tendency to worship the created rather than the creator. And this, I think, translates in our context into perhaps the idea basically of worshipping what we have made with our hands rather than recognizing that we were made by God's hands and we therefore have a duty and responsibility to him. To trust in the work of your own hands and to admire the work of your own hands, to trust in your own works, is, I think, the essence of idolatry. And that translates, as I say, in modern society into thinking, well, I'm going to work very hard, even get a second job, do extra training so that I can work in such a way that I make even more money because I want to gather wealth to myself so that I might buy this and I might do that and I might be this person that we dream of being. But in the end, we're told that this is primitive. Verse 14, "Every man has become primitive and without knowledge." This is absolutely simple behavior. And yet you see people who apparently have great education failing in this big time. So the true knowledge is not equal to education. The true knowledge is not equal to wisdom of this world. And in the end, every goldsmith is disappointed. In the end, there is only disappointment. And this same word for disappointment is used at the end of Jeremiah concerning what would happen to the actual idols of Babylon. That's why I suggest that what they're doing at this point is learning the ways of Babylon, Babylonian idols, because they think that will somehow stave off the Babylonian destruction. And yet in the end, idolatry comes to disappointment. And that is how all idolatry ends. That if you devote your life to achieving this, that, or the other with your own hands, in the final end, there is disappointment. Now, you may like to talk it up great whilst you're younger, talk up what you're doing, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, post about it on social media. But in the end, there is disappointment. In the end, as we face death, and as we engage seriously with the fact that I shall not be here forever, that in fact this life has been very short, what have you got? What have you got from possessions? What have you got from wealth? What have you got from all these things? In the end, deny it as you will, there is disappointment. Verse 15, in the time of visitation, they shall perish. Well, the same words are used in Jeremiah 51 about how ultimately Babylon itself would realize this when Babylon came to fall, that in the time of their visitation, their idols perished. So all idols fail at the point of critical testing. All idols fail at the point of critical testing. And the ultimate point of critical testing is when we are faced with death. That what has the life of idolatry actually done for us? Because, as I've said, there is no life in idols. There is no source of life. We cannot create life. Life is a gift from God, eternal life particularly. And people don't want to accept that because it involves humility. It involves accepting that actually I cannot create life. I cannot, as Jesus says, make my height greater. I cannot expand the length of my days. That this is all in God's hand. You think you can expand it by a little bit, but ultimately you can't. You cannot reason against your own nature and the ties that bind within humanity. It is only by accepting God's grace. And so I would say that idols stand not only for whatever replaces God, but whatever replaces the gift of life, the gift of His grace, the gift of true life. Now, in the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The time or the day of visitation, that very phrase is applied by Peter from the Septuagint. He applies it to the day of Christ's return and the final judgment. It's 1 Peter 2:12. That is finally the day of visitation and the day of critical testing. That is the ultimate day. And what do you have? Do you have your yacht, your flat that you worked to pay off for all your life, your whatever fancy cars that are now no good and rusty, whatever. What do you have? All that is not going to save you. It is only your acceptance of God's grace that will save you. And it's no good saying, oh yeah, I accept that, but what's the harm of having these things anyway? Well, what's the harm is that you cannot serve God and idols. You cannot have both. And then in verse 19, Jeremiah sort of chimes in. He makes a great interjection. Woe is me because of my hurt. Truly this is my grief and I must bear it. He sort of butts in to the message that he's giving from God with his own confession of grief. And I think he reflects there how we all feel that we are living in a world where the vast majority of people are idol worshippers, where they are idolaters. And we are seeking not to be like that, but to hold on to the one true God. And sometimes the pain of that, the grief of that, the tension you feel, the disjuncture that you feel between yourself and society, including in Jeremiah's case with the people of God, so-called, is very, very strong. And it's a very deep grief, and it is difficult when suddenly it dawns upon you that the people that I mix with are idolaters, and I'm seeking not to be. And yet there is no other way. It may be the hardest way, but to totally devote yourself to the things of God and not to go to idolatry. Sure, this may be the loneliest way in whatever context you find yourself in, whatever society you're in, whatever group of the people of God you find yourself amongst. But that's how it is. That is how it has to be. Because there is no other way. There can be no compromise with idolatry. It's as simple as that. And it is so foolish. You know? You see people putting pictures on social media of extremely expensive cars and things like, oh, wow, wouldn't it be cool? And a picture of them standing next to it. Well, to me, that's idolatry. What do you see in that, piece of metal? Do you not see that it's just a piece of metal? Do you not see that it's just been expensively worked and shaped and designed and engineered? That's all it is. And this is as bizarre as cutting a tree down and making half of it into a beautiful idol and getting the goldsmith to work on it very beautifully. And what have you got? Something in which there is no life. If you love life, you will not love idolatry, because there is no life in idolatry. The life, the only life, the life more abundantly, is in Jesus alone.